Welcome to Podcast One. We hope you'll support our sponsors who bring you these podcasts absolutely free and with limited interruptions. And of course, we appreciate you listening to this show, which will get started in just a second.
The following program is a PodcastOne.com production.
From Hollywood, California, by way of the Broken Skull Ranch, this is the Steve Austin Show.
Give me a hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Now, here's Steve Austin.
All right, everybody, welcome to Steve Austin Show. I am coming to you from the main streets of Los Angeles, California today. And I'm cutting this open, this podcast, before I head back to the set of Broken Skull Challenge for another group of badass contestants and another week of filming. But before we get rolling today, you need to get to the App Store or Google Play and download the new Podcast One app. You ain't never seen a podcast app like this before, and you can do all the normal stuff, like listen to your favorite podcasts and create your own playlist of your favorite episodes. But here's what makes the new Podcast One app different from anything else out there. You can watch over 1,000 360 virtual reality videos of your favorite podcasts. And with virtual reality, it's like you're right there in the room with them. You can also connect with other fans, share comments, and check out behind-the-scenes pictures and content. So get to the App Store or Google Play and download the new app now. Hey, folks, this last week has been a real interesting week for me. My nephew from Victoria, Texas, flew his ass down here, and he's visiting my wife and I from Victoria, Texas. And my nephew, Neil, is a junior in high school. He's 17 years old. He loves automobiles, trucks, cars, anything that has to do with the steering wheel and getting in it and driving it. And he's out here visiting with us. And I didn't know this, but when we got his ass a ticket, we pulled a rib on him. We flew him first class out there. That's a pretty good rib. And Neil had never been on an airplane before. So there was his first flight, first time to ever get up in the air, and he had an absolute blast. He's been out here on the main streets with us. My wife has been taking him around, seeing the sights. I've been able to take him out to the Broken Skull Challenge compound. He was able to hang out with me for a day and a half and see what we do out there. And he's my guest on the show today. And normally, when I mess around my nephew, we're telling these tall tales about Bigfoot, Sasquatch, Loch Ness Monster, all kinds of stupid stuff. And I tell you what, he's just a real good kid. He's a hard-working son of a gun. I couldn't be more proud of him. And he's my guest today, so normally, we're just used to shooting the breeze. We fired up these microphones, and we'll see how the podcast goes. We've already recorded it. Neil's at the grocery store right now with his Aunt Kristen getting some groceries. I'm fixing to pack my ass up and head back out to Broken Skull Challenge compound. As I record this podcast today, it's Monday, and I guess it's a course reset day out there at the compound because it is very rare for me to have a Monday off, so that means it's going to be a short week of four work days instead of five, and I'm looking forward to it. I got a chance to get an extra day spending here, hanging out with Neil and my wife and the dogs, and we got a chance to do a whole lot of stuff. Took him to eat at some different restaurants, took him to the yacht club that we belong to, took him to eat sushi. You'll see how that goes down as he starts talking on the podcast. I don't know that we made a fan out of Neil when it comes to sushi. It kind of threw him off a little bit, but I enjoyed the hell out of it. I tell you what, man, I was looking at the weather report this last week. We was out there at the Broken Skull Challenge filming the toughest show on television, and it starts airing in September. And I was just like, man, it is going to be rough out here because we're expecting record temperatures all across the West Coast, up and down. And man, we had some clouds blow in and a breeze going, and it really protected us. It wasn't hot at all for Broken Skull Challenge standards. And then all of a sudden, we're out there. It was right after our round two challenge. And man, all of a sudden, the clouds roll in, the wind starts blowing, and next thing you know, it starts raining cats and dogs. A flash flood watch, and it was supposed to be in a record-setting heat wave that's supposed to make it hotter than blazes. Man, I jumped in my Kawasaki mule. Me and Neil hauled ass to the camper, and it proceeded to rain like hell. Luckily, we were able to finish the day. The next day, we ran a skull buster. We came on back and continued showing Neil the sights and sounds of everything that is Los Angeles, California. And I'm the worst tour guide in the history of the business. My wife's been pretty good about it. We're taking him everywhere we can. They're going to hit it today. I'm looking forward to getting back to work. We're about almost halfway through filming this season, and the guys and girls have been absolutely phenomenal. The challenges are tougher. The skull buster is tougher. And I just think so far, so good, and this is going to be a real good season. I think season 5 is going to be the best season we've ever done. And that's saying something, because we have some good people out there. But anyway, all is good. I'm going to finish the business here and get into the podcast. I'm talking with my nephew, Neil, from Victoria, Texas. I've spent a lot of time with his kid at the Broken Skull Ranch before I sold it. He's been out there hunting with me. Just a real responsible, good kid. Works his ass off at everything he does. He ain't no slacker. I tell you what, that kid works his ass off, and he makes good grades. And he keeps his nose clean, says, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, thank you, you're welcome, all that kind of stuff. So he's a good kid, and I couldn't be more proud of him, and look forward to talking to him on the podcast. But before we get to Neil and the body of this podcast, let's talk about Credit Associates. If you're drowning in debt that you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $5,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now at 1-800-400-5617. Credit Associates will show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible. And that's without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. Credit Associates depends on your success and offers a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now 1-800-400-5617. That's 1-800-400-5617. One more time. Call 1-800-400-5617. I know everybody's got a to-do list. Drop off the dry cleaning, pick up some milk. Here's one for you. Let's add, save hundreds of dollars on car insurance. And the good thing is, you don't have to drop off or pick up anything. All you have to do is go to GEICO.com, and in 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on your car insurance. Extra money in your pocket. It just may be the most rewarding to-do you do today.
Hey everyone, it's former WWE host Lillian Garcia. Let me ask you a question. Do you ever wonder how your favorite stars make it to the big time? Then come check out my new show, Chasing Glory, with Lillian Garcia on podcastone.com. Hear me chat with some of your favorite athletes and entertainers about their rise to the top. It's about to get real, raw, and inspiring. So join me for new episodes every Monday on podcastone.com, the new Podcast One app, or subscribe on Apple Podcasts.
The Steve Austin Show. The Steve Austin Show.
All right, everybody, welcome to the Body of the Podcast. I'm sitting across the table from my nephew, Neil Wiggin, from Victoria, Texas. Sitting here live and in living color. Came out to California, to Los Angeles. Mean streets of Los Angeles. Sitting here at Marina Del Rey, 317 Gimmick Street. Good morning, how are you?
I'm doing good.
First time you ever been on a podcast?
First time. I've always listened to it. I always wanted to be on it.
Shoot, man, last time I saw you was at the Broken Skull Ranch, deer season. What have you been up to since then?
School, mostly. I'm into FFA, Ag Mech. I build trailers, fix everything up for those guys over there. I've been playing a lot of golf, and during the summer I've been working in the camp for special needs children, so that's what's been taking up the last 7 weeks of my summer.
How's your golf game going?
Pretty good. Easing back into it. I've been working for the past 7 weeks, so I haven't had a chance to actually play a full 18 in a while. So just getting back in the mood of it. Shot a 82, 83 the other day. Not too shabby for not playing in a couple weeks.
Man, I tell you what, was that for 16 holes?
18.
18 holes. See, I can't remember how many shooting. Well, most time when I golf, because I shoot in the low 50s, People always think that I only shoot 16 holes, but I don't turn pro just because it really wouldn't be fair to everybody.
I understand.
Tiger Woods has kind of faded off. Jordan Spieth's kind of coming up.
Yeah.
But if I was to get out there on the PGA and just totally smoke that guy, I mean, it'd probably screw him up, and he wouldn't be able to generate a living for his family, so that's why I've stayed off the pro course.
Understand. Understandable.
Hey, what got you involved in a game of golf? Can play football, track, baseball, basketball, but you like golf. I think it's a great sport to learn. Why'd you choose golf?
I played them all up until eighth grade, but I've played golf since I was 4 years old, my grandpa and my dad. My grandpa's really who got me into it and has pushed me to become really good at it and keep it as a hobby for the rest of my life. I'd like to play collegiate, but I don't know if that's going to be able to be possible. Right now I'm focused on my education more, so maybe I'll just go to A&M instead and keep the game of golf going.
But so your goal is to go to Texas A&M and get a degree in what?
Industrial distribution, probably, or industrial engineering.
Now, how at 17 years of age do you say, hey, man, I want to get into industrial distribution, because I don't even know what that is?
I've talked to a lot of Aggies up there right now, and it's a really good major to get into, and the job placement's 97%, and it's something I'm interested in. It's pretty much half business, half engineering. You put those two together and make a living out of it.
Okay, what are you distributing?
Sales. You could do outside sales. That's something I would want to do. They give you.
What are you selling?
Engineering, like plant parts, anything like that, oil field parts, stuff like that. And there's also so many other things you could do with it.
What interests you about that?
Just getting to know people on a personal level and being able to sell them products that they would need. I did a thing in FFA this year called Ag Sales, where the National FFA organization releases a product, and you have to make a packet about it, a manual pretty much about it, and sell it to people actually in the business of selling that product. So I'd go in there, hello, my name is Neil Wiggin, how are you? Go in and try to build a reserve, a rapport, it's a hard word to say, and you just try to make a sell with them on the product. So they give you an example of, hey, I have a 200-acre farm, I'm growing this, I live here, I have two tanks, how are you going to make this irrigation system work? We sold an irrigation system this year.
Okay, a lot of people out there don't know what FFA means. What is that?
Future Farmers of America. It's a national organization for high school kids to get involved with, mostly agricultural and mechanical.
Man, a long time ago, I was in ag. I took ag mechanics, and Mr. Callis was our teacher. And we used to always partner up. We try to build motors and stuff like that, you know, because that's ag mechanics. Man, I wasn't worth a damn at trying to build anything. It's like when I got my first car, it was 71 Firebird Formula, had a Chevy 396 in it, and that thing was jerry-rigged to hell. And if it hadn't been for Scott, my older brother, who by 2 years, him always turning a wrench on that thing, fixing it, I'd be underneath that thing beating on the starter while someone was turning the key and Scott was putting brakes on it. So I figured, hey, man, I'll take ag mechanics. I'll learn how to work on these motors. So, man, we're out there, and we go to build a 283 Chevy motor. And me and Chad Starr partnered up on it. And shoot, man, we went through the whole rebuild process. And come time to start that thing up, it wouldn't start. And before that, we had tried to rebuild a lawnmower engine. Because start off with a lawnmower engine, then go to the bigger motors. And that thing didn't run either. So ag mechanics didn't do me a lick of good. But I've always wanted to learn how to weld. And so you made me a sign, a Broken Skull Ranch sign. What, y'all made out of quarter-inch steel?
Quarter-inch steel. Or 3/16. 3/16, I think. I'm sorry.
So how'd y'all go about designing and planning that?
CAD machine on the computer. It's the software we use. I told my ag teacher, hey, let's make my uncle something, because he was making maybe two or three for some other people he knew. And he's like, okay. And he's a fan of yours. He literally likes you. And so we sat down, designed it, put all the kinks out of it. We put it out on the machine for the plasma cam to cut, and it crashed. 2.5 hours of work gone. So we had to restart, redesign it, redo everything we just did 2.5 hours ago. Finally got out of the shop about 10:30 that night. Had the sign made. We didn't have the flat iron around it yet. We had to weld that on in the morning, and then we tacked the flat iron on the next day, and I was on my way to the Broken Skull Ranch to see you.
I know, you pulled a rib on me. You said you was working on the barbecue pit because you had a surprise for me. And that's when you brought that sign out there and surprised my ass.
Yes, sir.
It's one of my favorite signs. Well, it is my favorite sign. I'm fixing to hang it up here, right here in my new studio. Hang on, listen to that trash can in the background, Neil. It's trash day in Los Angeles. At least in my neighborhood it is. Get out of here, trash truck. Boy, he gassed it. Neil, here's the thing, California. We got three trash cans, a brown one for trash, a green one for green stuff and dog manure, and blue cans for recyclables. Down in Victoria, y'all don't recycle, do you?
Well, we have two. We have two trash cans. We have a black one that's for trash and everything, and then we actually have a green one, I think, and it is for recyclables. I grew up in Edna. We didn't have that. We had a blue trash can for trash and everything you put in it. I just moved to Victoria a year ago, so that's kind of new to me. So I got to remember to keep out my plastic bottles.
Man, out there in Tilden, they only got one trash system. Everything goes in the same, and it'd be too expensive for them to build an infrastructure to do all the recycling stuff. So everything goes in the same thing. So it's kind of messes with your head when you live in here in Los Angeles.
For
you're
sure.
Just separating all your trash, and you just go down there. And my wife's like, "Well, why can't we recycle down here?" And they ain't got a system. So anyway, it is what it is. Hey, you had a pretty good deer season last few years out at Broken Skull Ranch before we decided to sell it. How many years did you actually hunt out there? Because you're 17 now, but shoot, when did you start hunting?
I started hunting when I was 9. That's my first deer I ever took, and it was out at the Broken Skull Ranch. It was 8-point. We put it in the local paper, and the title was Neil Nails 8 at 9, and I was all embarrassed because I was 9 years old and never took a deer, and all my buddies, they've taken deer when they were 6 or 7 with their parents, but I was proud I did it all by myself. So that was really cool. So 6 years.
So what?
8 years.
What did you enjoy the most about hunting?
Just being out there, taking in the land, being with you, spending time with family, my grandpa, my mom, all my uncles. Just the land out there was incredible.
Did you ever get lost out there?
I'm really good with location and direction, so I never really got lost. I knew at a young age that I'd have to learn it because you'd be looking up, holding me responsible for me when I was out there. Get around by myself, so I knew I had to learn it and be responsible for myself out there.
You ever come upon any rattlesnakes out there?
One time, me and my dad just got out of Titanic, and there's a washout, and we were going down to the feeder, and I hopped in that washout about 8 years old, and I hopped right back out, and I stepped on a baby rattlesnake, and after that, Grandpa ordered me some rattlesnake boots, so no more of that.
What's a rattlesnake boot?
They go up about to your knee, bottom of your knee, and they're just a snake guard, pretty much. That way, if you step on them or stir them up, if they strike at your shins, you won't get bitten.
I stepped on a rattlesnake a couple years ago, and this snake was a national rattlesnake high jump champion. And that thing, what? You don't blame me?
No.
I don't want to tell a story. And it bit me right out here in my throat.
Oh, yeah?
I'm a jugular.
Right there?
Yeah.
What'd you do?
Tourniquet. What do you think about California now that you've been here for 4 days?
It's large. It's huge. Good weather. Really good weather. No humidity, really. I know Aunt Kristen was like, "This is the worst humidity we've had in months." And I'm like, "This is great. You know, this is March in Texas." The people here are a little different. They're unique.
How do you mean it different?
They just dress differently, act differently. Just different parts of living, I guess. But everybody out here that I've met is really nice. I talked to the taxi driver the other day. He actually was working in Victoria. He said, "Yeah, you're from Texas." I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Oh, well, I used to be in the oil field business, and I used to have oil field drills in Refugio. You know where that is?" "Yes, sir, I know where that is." He said, "Oh, yeah, I used to live in Victoria while I was there." I was like, "Wow, small world. That's where I live."
Hey, you got a chance to eat sushi with myself and Kristen the other day, and that's our favorite sushi joint that we go to about once a week. From the amount of food that you left on your plate, I think it would be suffice to say that you ain't so keen on sushi.
Sushi. Well, I'd never had it before. There's a place we go to in Victoria, it's called Tokyo Grill. They always serve sushi. I always see people eating it, but I never venture off and try it. So when you said that, Aunt Kristen texted me last week, and she was like, "We're going to go to the sushi place, so be ready." I was like, "Okay, you know, I'm in California, I'll try it." So we get there, and I'm kind of guessing myself, and Steve's looking at the menu, and he's looking at all these different types of sushis, and I'm just over here looking at the chicken and beef teriyaki. And he gets off, and he goes, "Give me a California hand roll. Get him a California hand roll. Give me some tuna. Get him some tuna." He's ordering me all kinds of things. He ordered about 5 trays of tuna. And man, about halfway through that third bite of the third tray, I was done. I couldn't take it anymore. The texture just killed me. I stomached my way through the tuna. I was proud of myself for that. But man, when it came out with those hand rolls, I was done. I was shot.
Was it, do you think it was a seaweed wrapper, or was it just the rest of the food and you weren't used to that kind of texture?
The crab on that hand roll was fine.
Yeah.
I think it was the seaweed wrap, but on the spicy tuna, that texture got me there too. So I think it was a combination of both on that spicy tuna roll.
So if I asked you to go eat sushi today for lunch before I go back out to Broken Skull Challenge compound, you'd probably turn me down.
I wouldn't turn you down. I love spending time with you, but I'd probably get some chicken teriyaki.
Hey, man, I noticed one thing. You came out to the Broken Skull Challenge compound. You spent a day and a half with me out there. And, man, we had a good time riding around looking at junk cars. I ain't never seen nobody eat so many Lucky Charms since I was a kid. What is up with the LCs?
I love them. That's all I eat. I ate some for breakfast this morning. I ate a big old bowl this morning. I don't know if you saw it, but it was huge.
Yeah, I did. It was a big-ass salad bowl. And you drank all my milk. Hey, back when I was a kid, we lived in Victoria, me and Kevin used to be like Captain Crunch and Lucky Charms fiends, and a god dang Kevin and me was always fighting to just get up early enough to get all the Lucky Charms.
Yeah.
And you know, sometimes you shake the cereal box and you don't get a whole lot of charms.
Yeah.
You get the oats, but you don't get the charms. So, man, we'd go in there and stick our hands in there and try to get more charms. Because the charms are the best part of it.
Yeah, I know it is.
That's what makes it.
I was looking on the back of the box today, and there's a little card in the box now, and if you type it on their website, put in the code, you can win a free box of just marshmallows. They're making
really?
10,000 boxes of just marshmallows.
You know that can't be good for you.
No, probably not. That'd be
so bad.
You
know one
thing
I noticed about your diet since you've been here? You eat nothing but pure sugar and garbage. Same shit I used to eat when I was a kid because you can get away with it. You know what I also noticed? You might have a tapeworm. I ain't never seen a 17-year-old kid demolish more food in my life. I bet your mom and them was happier than hell when you came over here to Los Angeles to stay with me and Christmas. They ain't got to feed your ass for a week. How do you eat so much?
I just
you like a bottomless pit?
I mean, I eat it till it's gone. So that's how it works.
I know. Every time I open my refrigerator, ain't nothing in there.
I went over to Kevin's one time, ain't gone back since, because he texted my mom and said, your son's a human garbage disposal, get him out of here. So that's the last time I stayed the night at Uncle Kevin's house.
I told Kristen, when you leave on Wednesday, we'll have to restock on groceries. That Neil had done ate us out of house and home.
Just a growing boy.
Hey, we got a chance to go to do a little bit of sightseeing. We didn't get a chance to do much because I've been busy and I had to do some other stuff. I'm the worst tour guide in the history of Los Angeles. I remember we flew Mom and Dad out of here, and we got one of those vans, and we was driving around everywhere. I'm just horrible about showing everybody the sights, but we did get a chance to go to the Peterson Automotive Museum. And let's talk about your love of cars, because, man, as a kid, and still to this day, I just love cars. But I kind of got, you know, stuck in the, you know, SUVs, Broncos, and truck mode right now. But I used to be, back when I was wrestling, you know, in the Corvettes, had Mercedes and Porsches and stuff like that, some twin turbos, some 911s. You're only 17, but the car bug bit you real fast. What is it about the automobile that just piques your attention and your passion like it has?
Just there's so many different unique variations that you can get out of it. There's so many different types of motors, so many different types of bodies, different companies that make them, different backgrounds, different histories on all the cars. That's what I really like. Favorite car is a Corvette. I've loved that thing for years. I used to have, every year I'd have calendars, a Corvette calendar, and I'd look at them and have all different types, all different rare, exclusive ones, limited edition ones, and I loved them all. So that's where that comes from. And we also have a Corvette, a 76 Corvette at the house that I love. It's bright orange, metallic orange. It's got a leveling kit on it and 18-inch wheels. It's got a cam, a 383 stroker. It's a gorgeous car. Sounds great.
You ever get a chance to drive it?
I've not driven it yet, but I want
to. We got all the generations of Corvette, man. We was out there at the Broken Skull Challenge compound, and that place is, it's a couple hundred acres, and that's where we film Broken Skull Challenge, but it's also like a salvage yard for picture cars, movie cars, stuff that they're going to set on fire, stuff they need for just background stuff. And there's one little section, and it's about, about 30 Corvettes?
Yeah, probably 30 C4 Corvettes, I'd say.
And you were going crazy because, man, you couldn't believe so many people wouldn't, so many Corvettes would just be all in one place in a shambles.
It was incredible.
I didn't get to be that way.
I was like speechless, I guess you could say. They were mostly C4s, which are not too sought after. They're probably the least sought after Corvettes, but still, it's a Corvette. You got to admire it for what it is. So that was good to see.
Okay, so out of all the Corvettes, what's your favorite? You like C4, C2, C3. Mm-hmm. What are we on right now? C7?
C7.
So what's your favorite C?
Just off of complete looks and sounds and just feel, C7s.
Really?
They're gorgeous. They're gorgeous. I do like the older ones. I'd say C2s. The 60s, you know, those are good.
God dang, man. When I, well, there's, in there two C's because 60, was it 63 through 67? And then 68's when it went to the Stingray style.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, man, when I used to live in Victoria years ago, right there at that, I don't even know if it's there anymore, across from that Baptist church, there was a spinning sign and a guy used to have a, like a Phillips 66 car station. And there was a 68 Corvette there and it was black. I think I had Krager Super Sports on all four corners, but man, that was my. I always wanted to buy that car. Of course, I was a kid. I didn't have no money.
Yeah,
for no
exactly.
But there's something about that 68 Corvette that I just love. So I think out of all of them, I almost talked myself into the other day. I was thinking, you know what? I've had three Corvettes, and the last one I had was an 07, and I sold it out here in Los Angeles because it was too hard to get in and out of. And the way those doors are kind of long, and so when
they
it
are.
Says they're open, because cars are so close to you, you can't hardly get out of them. But I was thinking, man, it would be cool to get a 2017 Grand Sport. Whether I drove it or not, just keep it until whatever, till I end up, you know, kicking a bucket over about 20, 30 years. But just have a Corvette because I've always been a fan of them. But as far as the body style, I've always liked those 68s through, what'd that go through, 72?
No or longer.
Well, just the same basic style.
Yeah.
That Stingray style.
Yeah.
Because they went through the economy crunch when all the motors turned into dogs. But I think just the mystique of that style, the way those fenders were, is my favorite Corvette. And I've never driven one.
Really?
Not that body style. Like I had the new ones, I had a couple of Z06s, but I never drove that body style of Corvette. But now that I'm used to all this modern technology, I don't know if I'd drive. You know, we were driving my Bronco the other day, coming back from a Broken Skull Challenge compound, and man, we was hauling ass. We was doing about 85. And once you get stop and go traffic, you just like those modern brakes. So I just don't know that I'd want to be sitting down on the pavement driving a Corvette.
But yeah, too low.
I might
low.
Have one just to hang on to.
Yeah.
When we went to the Peterson Automotive Museum, there was a few cars that jumped out at me. There was a Ohio Georgia's Gasser drag car. That thing was awesome. It had that metal flake blue paint job on it. And then I like that 70 Cuda. That was awesome. I liked a couple of the Bugattis. And what else? Oh, the high art of riding low. Man, if you're passing through L.A., stop by the Peterson Automotive Museum. Because, man, they had one of the most famous lowrider cars of all time, Gypsy Rose. And they had El Rey. And then they had El Muerto, Ryder. Mm-hmm. And then there was another one, that 30s style one. I don't remember what year that was.
Oh,
or what the name
the
was.
It was like the Ganglands. It was a Chevy.
Yeah.
Incredible paint on it.
That thing was incredible. Man, I love that Gypsy Rose. And then the El Rey, just the attention to detail on those things was absolutely unbelievable. What did you think about the lowriders?
They were great. Just like you said, the attention to detail, it was incredible. They literally detailed every single part of that car. I mean, it was phenomenal.
Hey, man, you're an ag mechanics over in Ganeda High School. So you're doing welding. You made me a sign. Do they have any kind of body work or paint stuff over there?
We used to, but now it's mostly welding. So we don't have any. We used to have a paint shop, but now it's storage for our welding machines.
Well, you know how to weld and everything, but how have you guys been, are they teaching any mechanical work, turning wrenches and stuff like that, rebuilding motors?
A little bit, not too much.
Are they phasing that out?
Yes, sir. So
I wonder why that is.
I don't know. Welding is a big thing right now, and all the CDEs and competitions you can do with ag, that's what they're focusing on. So that's the only shop class. There's one for the freshman, I forget what it's called, the intro to ag mech or something, where you do a little bit more with it all. But once you get up into senior and junior year, you get into welding and welding one or welding two or whatever it is, and we build stuff like that. So, I mean, we do get into the mechanics of it all while we build stuff. If we need to do anything to a trailer or a specific thing that we're doing,
Man, when I got my first car, it was a 71 Firebird Formula at a Chevy 396, and it was pretty jerry-rigged. And if my older brother Scott hadn't been around, it had been parked because I didn't know how to work on anything. Scott just seemed to always have a knack for being mechanically inclined. He knew how things worked and was very curious to take things apart and put them back together. If I took something apart and put it back together, I usually have a few extra parts. So I wasn't really mechanically inclined. And it's just like when Dad tried to teach me how to play guitar and bass and all that other stuff. I didn't really apply myself, but I just didn't really have that. I wasn't really musically inclined either. It turned out I made a pretty good pro wrestler. And that's how it ended up being pretty good at. With you and your pickup truck, you done any hands-on stuff on that? Or do you have any kind of mechanical knowledge? Do you have any instincts for it? Because I know you play guitar and you seem to have a gift for that. Does it apply to the mechanics as well, or are you still just kind of fiddling around with it and just doing, you know, like wheels and stuff like that?
I'm doing small things. I changed the oil the other day by myself, so that was pretty cool. Never knew how to do that, so got taught how to do that. And then just looking at torsion keys, torsion bars, cranking those up a little bit here and there. Did that a couple months ago, but they just took that all down and they put on an actual leveling kit for me at an outdoor place, off-roading place in Victoria, so that'll be nice.
Outlaw Off-Roading?
Outlaw Off-Road.
So they hooked your brother up?
They hooked your brother up.
Hey, man, that used to be my pickup truck, and you bought it off of me. Have you seen it yet, or is it still in the shop?
No, it's the house. I just haven't been home, and I didn't tell my mom to send me a picture.
Did they send you pictures of it?
No.
So you haven't seen it leveled up?
I'm flying blind.
Okay, so when you get back, you got to send me a picture.
I will.
I want to see how it turned out. I used to have back in the day when I was living in Bernie, Texas, still on the road, I got a 2001 F-250. And I put the front end leveling kit on that. Didn't want to lift it up, put 33s on it. Man, that was a good looking truck. And all it needed was me to pick that thing up just a little bit.
It's real good.
I was talking about my Bronco the other day. Man, I want to maybe just get that thing leveled out. I'll put a lift kit on it.
Yeah.
I was thinking about putting a supercharge on that thing. But then I said, man, it's just a 95 Bronco. It's all stock. You don't need to go no faster. It sounds good, doesn't it?
Oh, it sounds great. You romped on it when we were heading out of the compound for Broken Skull Challenge, and man, it sounded great.
Yeah, it sounds great, but that 215 horsepower 351, it's a 5.8 liter. Everybody says, oh, man, those things got a lot of horsepower. No, they don't. They just want to build it like it's a big-ass, badass Bronco. But the fact of the matter is those roaches, the 5.0 and the 5.8, the 302 and the 351 respectively, they will last forever. But they ain't powerful, so that son of a bitch sounds good. Ooh, when I jump in, kick that four barrel.
Only going about 65.
Yeah, but a 0 to 60 on that thing, I don't know what it is, but you could probably use a sundial rather than a stopwatch to time it going 0 to 60. Hey man, you're 17 years old. You're gonna be 18 in 6 months. You're doing really well in school. You weren't always a great student. How come? What happened? You kind of just all of a sudden kicked it in, and now you're one of the top students in the class. What happened that?
Just
trying harder, more focus?
More focus, more motivation to go to Texas A&M. I want to become something one day, so I decided that I need to kick it in and try my hardest.
Your older sister going to Texas A&M, before she went there, were you just blowing in the wind, or did you not know what you wanted to do, or how did it become resolute that you want to go to Texas A&M and College Station?
Well, through junior high, we always would go to games. We always go to football games there in College Station, and I loved it more and more every time I went to football games there in College Station. And the saying is still true today. Every time I go there, the more I love it. So I think seeing her go there made me love it just that much more than I already did. So that's where I get that from, just going there through years and loving the traditions and the sights of it all. And the campus itself is great, and all the people there are amazing.
What's the deal for getting into a school like that? I went to a junior college, and I went to North Texas State University outside of Dallas-Fort Worth in Denton, Texas. It's now called University of North Texas. And, you know, my grades was fine. But on a big university like Texas A&M, is it easy to get into?
Well, it's easy to a degree. If you're in the top 10% of your class, you're automatically accepted. Well, coming from a town of 50 kids in my class, I'm number 7 out of 50, so I'm not in the top 10. I had to pass 2 more people to get there. So if you're not in the top 10, I mean, it's easy to get into if you're a good kid, if you're involved in activities and clubs and all that good and volunteer work. If you're involved in all that stuff, it's easier to get in if you're just an average Joe who has got a 4.0 and doesn't do anything. So in some perspective it's easy, in some perspectives it's hard.
Hey, some of your hobbies outside of, you know, your schoolwork and your love of cars and trucks and stuff like that, you work with special needs kids. How did you come upon doing that, and what propelled the decision to do that?
Well, there's this class that's offered at my high school called PALS, and it stands for Peers, Assistance, and Leadership. It's where we mentor younger kids in our elementary school that have bad home lives or home issues or can't keep their grades up or are bullied or their mom passed or dad passed, anything like that. They need a big brother or big sister to look up to and guide them. So I got involved with that in my freshman year. So when I was 14, 15, and I'm still in it as I'm going into my senior year, I'm president of that club actually now, so that's a good thing. Just working with those kids and seeing how much you can do for them and how much they do for you, making you realize how humble, like how good you got it, you know. And then after that, my sister worked at a camp for special needs children called Texas Elks Camp, and I started working at Texas Elks Camp. This is my first year as a counselor this last year, and I loved it. Just seeing those kids, how happy they are when they have every right to be mad or at the world and just not have a good attitude at life, and they do. It's great. It's amazing.
What else? When you do that camp, that pretty much takes up your entire summer.
7 weeks.
Are you able to get like back in the day, like between high school semesters or some school years, like during the summer, man, I was hauling hay. I was working on the lease crew, you know, picking up, you know, cleaning up oil field sites and stuff like that. Do y'all get paid for that? Is that volunteer work?
We get paid. We do get paid.
Okay.
All the money is raised through the Elks organization. It's nationwide, but our money comes from the Texas Elks, as the name goes. So everything that we get, we go to SeaWorld. We get kids Sunday, and they leave Friday. And every day we go somewhere new. We're a traveling camp. We go to SeaWorld, Splashway. It's a big water park. ZDT's, it's an amusement park and arcade. They love it. All the games are free. And they have go-karts and everything like that. And the San Antonio Aquarium, which is all touch. You can feed stingrays, feed sharks, feed all this other cool stuff. And also we go to the... that's it. I think so. So we every day we go somewhere new. We tie-dye. We have a big outside place for them. We got a big pavilion with basketball courts and playground. So every day we're doing something.
Hey, man, back when I used to own the Broken Skull Ranch, you was out there hunting with us, and you was able to take, you know, some pretty good deer. And you love hunting, being in the outdoors. Now that that place is not around anymore, are you still going to try to continue your deer hunting? Is there anybody out there that you can hunt with?
Hopefully. That's one of my favorite things to do in the wintertime and the holidays, is to spend time with family and hunt. So hopefully I'll be able to find somewhere to hunt that I can. We have a place in Hope. Hope. Yeah. So maybe I'll try my luck there. I don't know if anything's there. We'll try that out and see how that goes. But I'd love to continue hunting.
So if you end up in Texas A&M and you get there, say you complete your college degree in 4 years, what do you think right now at 17 and a half years of age, do you feel like doing with your life?
I've been looking into a lot of degrees, a lot of majors, and I think I'm going to go the way of industrial distribution. It's half business and half engineering. There's a lot of different ways you could go with that degree, but I think I'd like to do outside sales, where I'd make a relationship with customers and companies and sell them products that they would need for their companies.
So how was it that you just made that decision? Because, like, when I was, all through, you know, when I was a kid, you know, I grew up down in Edna, and we lived in Victoria for a while, but when I first got turned on to wrestling, I was probably about 7 or 8 years old, and I was changing channels. I came across pro wrestling. My mom, your grandmother, was reading her magazine in a chair, and, man, Dusty Rhodes was in the middle of the ring bleeding. And I told Mom, I said, man, why don't that security guard help Dusty? Mom rolled her eyes, your grandmother, and just went back to her magazines. In the back of my mind, I always knew, man, you know, I want to be a pro wrestler. I want to be a pro wrestler. Yeah. But I didn't know how to go about it. But it turns out, as you know, Dad, Papa, sold insurance for a living.
Yeah.
So when I went to college on an athletic scholarship to Wharton County Junior College, I figured, okay, well, first 2 years are kind of just general studies.
Yeah, general studies.
And then I'll kind of home in on it when I get to, you know, I got a scholarship to North Texas State University in Denton, Texas. So I shifted to a business major. God dang, man. You know, I was a National Honor Society in Edna until I got kicked out. I didn't get kicked out because my grades were bad, because I was just clowning around too much. And I got into Wharton. Everything was fine. I got to North Texas, man, and algebra was just kicking my ass. And then I also took accounting class. And at first it seemed like real easy. Oh, man, debits and credits, this is easy. Boss, and they started hitting me with the real stuff. And I said, well, homie, don't play that.
Homie, don't play that.
I dropped algebra twice. I dropped accounting. And I just changed my major from business to PE. Now, physiology, anatomy, kinesiology, that was easy to me because I can see and understand that and I can wrap my head around it. For some reason, my brain just doesn't really understand math. Now, I can do the basics for add, subtract, multiply, divide. Exactly. But you start talking about all that other stuff, that's same when here. I kind of get lost.
And I struggle.
So then I said, okay, well, maybe, you know, because I needed that business degree, I thought I did, to get in the insurance business. And I was just going to, you know, join my dad's business and, you know, be partners with him. And he was cool with it. And so that was the way I was going to go. Turns out, you know, I ended up scrapping all that when I dropped out of college with about 17 hours to graduate. I started working on a freight dock, and I was, you know, driving a forklift, loading, unloading trucks, and, you know, going to watch wrestling. And that's when I said, hey, man, you know, I think I'm going to give this a try. And I went to school, a wrestling school, and 5 months later I had my match. And, you know, all these years later, you've seen it all, you know, end up and been retired there now for a while. But is there anything else you considered doing other than that, what's that, industrial agriculture?
Industrial distribution.
Industrial distribution. Is there anything else you considered, or are you still in the wind? Because as young as you are, you could always make a decision on the fly.
For sure. I've always thought about the Air Force, really, in the back of my mind, going in and maybe getting a bachelor's degree and then going in as an officer and going to be a pilot. My vision's good, and I've got the good height to go and to be a pilot, but I just don't know yet. I still have a lot of time to
think. What are you talking about? You got the height to be a pilot, because it's like going to Astro World and says, you must be this tall to ride this ride.
There's limits. There's limits.
But, I mean, hell, as much Lucky Charms as you eat, and you might shoot up to be about 6'11", your ass going to be too tall for the Air Force.
Who knows?
They're going to have to put a taller cockpit on that thing.
Yeah, they might.
So you were thinking about going in the Air Force.
I am.
Yeah?
I am.
Flying a plane?
Yes, sir. A-10, preferably. That'd be really cool. Tank busters. I don't know if you've seen videos on those.
No.
They're all over. Oh, they're incredible. They're really cool. They have mini guns on the sides. Just go in and wreak havoc on anybody.
All right, Neil, we've got to take a minute here to thank another fine sponsor of the Steve Austin Show, and that's Diamond Dallas Page and his DDP Yoga. DDP is hitting the road. He's doing the DDP UK tour, and this is your chance to be at one of his inspirational Q&A live shows in Glasgow, Manchester, Birmingham, and London. DDP is going to be telling stories, signing autographs, and taking selfies, and he's going to motivate the heck out of you to live the healthiest life you can. Dallas is kicking off his Hall of Fame UK tour on September 8th in Glasgow, and he's bringing his DDP yoga workshops too. Get in on Dallas's Inspiration Meets Perspiration workshop and let him help you achieve your fitness goals and get on the path to healthier living. Reserve your spot now at ddpuktour.com. And if Dallas ain't going to be in a city near you, then download the DDP Yoga Now app and join one of the live workouts from the DDP Yoga Performance Center in Smyrna, Georgia. It's the next best thing to working out in person with Dallas. And the app has everything, folks. It's got over 150 workouts. It's got nutrition tips. It's got recipes, cooking shows, and tools to track your progress. And it lets you do DDP yoga wherever and whenever you want, right from your smartphone or tablet. And right now, you can get the app and the DVDs for 20% off. Just go to ddpyoga.com/Austin. It's time to own your life. Start today. ddpyoga.com/Austin. Hey, if you're looking to buy a new or used vehicle, you need TrueCar. TrueCar gives you the price and information you need to feel confident about your vehicle purchase. When you register with TrueCar, you'll see what other people in your local area paid for the car you want. And from there, you can connect with a local TrueCar certified dealer and enjoy a more confident car buying experience. TrueCar shows you real pricing on actual inventory, so you see competitive pricing offered to you by TrueCar certified dealers for vehicles that are actually on their lots. And you'll also see all the dealer incentives before you get to the lot so you can feel confident about the price when you show up. TrueCar makes car buying easy, no matter if you're looking for a brand new or used vehicle. And the stats don't lie. Over 3 million cars have been sold to TrueCar users by the TrueCar Certified Dealer Network. There are over 13,000 dealers in that network with some 700,000 pre-owned vehicles available. So do yourself a favor and go to TrueCar for your next car buying experience. TrueCar users save an average of over $3,000 off MSRP. So when you're ready to buy a new or used car, visit TrueCar to enjoy a better car buying experience. Some features not available in all states.
The Steve Austin Show. The Steve Austin Show.
All right, I'm sitting here rolling sand at 370 in Gimme Street with my nephew Neil Wiggin down there in Victoria, Texas, out here in mean streets of Los Angeles, the West Coast. God dang, man, I had some work to do yesterday, so my wife took Neil down there to Venice Beach and got out there on the sidewalk and started walking around. Tell me about the sights and sounds of Venice Beach. I heard you guys had quite the tour because there was a lot of things going on down there.
There was an Indian festival going on, so I was pretty cool seeing all that culture going on down there, and also all the shops and all the loud noises, all the different walks of life down there. Half of them I'd never seen before. Just all the performers down there, those are pretty cool. The guy who runs around on rollerblades and plays his electric guitar. Some other dude was there with an afro. He had a play dog on a stick, and he asked for money, and then he'd perform, but until he gave him money, he wouldn't perform, so we were all just standing around waiting for him to do something. He never did, so that was kind of...
Well, if you'd have busted out a $5 bill, he might have showed you some tricks.
I know. I should have, man. If I was to go back, I would have done it just to see what he had with that play dog.
Hey, I understand that the Hare Krishnas are out there dancing around. What was they celebrating? They trying to do some recruiting? You got a story for me.
I have no idea what they were doing, but we looked over there, and they're all dancing around, having a good time. And they're just loving life. There's a big old tent set up, said free feast. So everybody was down there getting food. All these people sitting down on the grass, enjoying the music, dancing to it. I'm just taking it all in. Never seen any of this before. So that was really funny.
Was it Hare Krishnas putting on the spread, or was it the Indians putting on the spread?
Well, they were both there. So maybe it was a co...
Was they together?
Yeah. I think they were throwing a co-party.
Well, you said you was doing a dance last night when you was telling me a story. Like, what they doing? Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Krishna. That was from Stripes when John Candy and them were acting like it was part of a movie.
Yeah.
Like, were they singing? Were they chanting? Did they have a jam box?
They were doing it all. They were in a big old group at the bottom. They had seats set up, a stage, and in between there was a kind of a little open spot. And they were all going up there, dancing, singing, throwing their hands up, having a great time.
Well, did you think about joining them?
I thought about it. I did. I just thought about, you know, going in there and busting a move, cutting a rug with them, enjoying life.
So if you joined Hare Krishnas, would you bypass college and just hang out on the beach?
Yeah, I think so.
But here's a question.
Beach
life. Did you interview with one of them and say, okay, I'm thinking about being a Hare Krishna. I want to join up with you guys. Where's the compound at? Where do we go when we're not hanging out on Venice Beach having a free feast? And how are we paying for all this food to everybody eat free?
No, I asked for an application.
Okay, so what did they say?
No, they're like, we're donations, yep. So we just put it on like that, and we're free roamers. So I was like, all right, well, have a good day.
So what did you think? I heard you got the smell of marijuana in your nostrils. A lot of dope smoking out there?
A lot of dope smoking going on out there on Venice Beach, and there's also some dude selling sage. So I guess that didn't help any, but golly, every now and then we'd be walking, I'd smell some food, and then I'd smell a big old whiff of marijuana, and it'd pass, and I'd do it again. Sometimes we got behind people who had it, and the wind was blowing. Oh, man, it was terrible. It was bad.
Did you get a contact eye?
Sir?
Did you get a contact eye?
No.
You sure?
A what?
A contact eye.
Oh, I didn't know what you said.
A byproduct of someone
smelling
that marijuana.
No.
I figured you'd be behind someone trying to just smell that stuff.
No.
Now, tell me about Victoria, Texas, or Gonada, Texas, where you go to school. I don't imagine y'all run across a whole lot of dope out there.
There's the crowds. There's the crowds. You know, steer away from those guys. But usually, nah, you don't see much of it.
When I was going to high school in Edna, Texas in the 80s, there was like three dope heads. That's what we called them back in the day.
Dope heads.
We had three dope heads in the school.
We call them potheads. So.
Potheads, same thing.
Yeah, exactly.
And no disrespect to anybody that smokes. I'm just saying back in the 80s, that's what we call them. They were the pot smokers.
Yeah.
You had your athletes. You had your country guys. I mean, you had different cliques.
Yeah, you had cliques.
But there was like three dope heads in the whole school, and they were like, you know, in the hot rods. But they just kind of did their thing. But like back in my day, dude, I mean, you just didn't have that stuff. And then all of a sudden out here in California, it's legal.
Yeah.
And they got the dispensaries everywhere.
I know.
How
I've
has
never
that been for you?
I've never seen a dispensary. It was pretty interesting, you know. But we walked by one. It was like the $40 fix, you know. I guess it's kind of famous down there. I took a picture in front of it, giving them a double thumbs up and big cheesing right in front of them. The green doctors in their green suits and all that stuff. So that was interesting. That was really cool.
Hey, did you see any of those fortune tellers out there?
No.
There's a lot of people out there. They'll read tarot cards.
Really?
And, man, I went out there, shoot, about 10 years ago, me and a friend of mine. And I said, man, I'm just going to do this for this is a rib. These guys are full of shit. So anyway, I give a dude like, it was donations. He goes, okay, you know, he tells me to take some cards. And all of a sudden, man, he didn't know who I was. And he just starts telling me all these things about me. And it's like, it was uncanny. And I wasn't leading him on, doing nothing.
Yeah.
And this dude was straight up, you know, he asked my birthday, you know, when I was born, what time, all the other stuff, Sagittarius, you know. And then, he starts naming all this stuff. Bam, 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 bam. It was like, Jesus Christ, man, this is freaky. So anyway, it's off donations. I give a guy a 20 spot. And my buddy was there. He was kind of like, he's kind of skeptical. So he said, you know what? I'll do you for free. When's your birthday? Told him his birthday. Sure enough, he goes, you know what? You could have been a lawyer. This, you're very particular. Just like naming off all these traits.
I'm
thinking, well, turns out, the dude had three brothers that were lawyers. He was going to be a lawyer, but wasn't. I think his father was a lawyer.
Wow.
So it's like everything that this dude said, and a goddamn, what's his name? The guy's name was Adrian or something like that. And it was years ago. But I was like, I walked away from that guy thinking, man, that son of a bitch. I don't know how he did it.
No.
But he nailed me right to the damn thing. But if you walk through, there's different people. You know, everybody
There's a bunch selling artwork. Yeah. And a bunch of stuff like T-shirts, wooden planks with California on them, all that good stuff. But no, I didn't see any fortune tellers.
I went out there one time, and, you know, those guys do those pencil drawings.
Yeah.
And there's
a
pencil drawing of Stone Cold Steve Austin. So I said, hey, man. I said, how much for the picture? Because I had to have it, right?
Yeah.
And then, you know, he looked at me and he says, I don't even know what it says. Just say 10 bucks. I said, is it 10 bucks?
Yeah.
I said, oh, I'd give him 10 bucks.
You still have
10
it?
Bucks. It's floating around one of his garages.
Okay, okay.
Anyway, so, you know, he took my money and I walked off, and he didn't even recognize that I was the guy in the picture that he drew.
Wow, no, yeah. I see things of you all the time. Just the other day, I was watching TV, and you popped up on my TV just like that, and I see people with your shirts on all the time, and I see you on Twitter all the time, old videos of you from the 90s, you know, in the ring. It's great. I love it.
Hey, you're on social media. What are you on, Twitter and Instagram?
I'm on Twitter and Instagram.
What are you on Twitter?
Neil Wiggins, 73.
So, where did 73 come from?
Two lucky numbers, two favorite numbers, I guess. Start off as 7. Well, here's the thing. When I was young, I couldn't remember my password. So I have like 4 Twitter accounts. They're all different. But the one I'm on now is Neil Wiggins, 73.
Okay, now why does someone who's 17 and a half years old need 4 Twitter accounts?
I forgot the passwords. I had to remake them. come on.
You're worse than I am. What about Instagram?
Instagram, I'm just Neil Wiggins. So that's pretty. You tag me in a couple of posts, so you could find me if you go through Steve's stuff. So, yes, sir.
So, what do you think about that social media?
It's a good thing and a bad thing, if you let it be.
How's that?
You can use it as something for your friends and use it for yourself, entertainment, and then you can also use it to, you know, mess with other people, bully them, do all that bad stuff you can. You just gotta stay on the good side of it.
What do you think about them trolls on social media?
Trolls?
Yeah.
They're all right. They're not bad.
They're not. Dude, if you ain't got nothing better to do but write a bunch of stupid shit about something.
Well, if it's extra, if it's more than once or twice, then yeah, get out of here.
Yeah, but some people have these accounts. I've seen a million of them. And all they do, I'll see them, they'll be spamming my timeline or whatever, just saying a bunch of negative stuff. And I'll look at their tweets. And that's it. They're crushing everybody. Just nothing but stupid shit to say to people.
Like, yeah, no.
If that's the most productive way that you can spend your time, or you get joy out of spending your time that way, just bashing a bunch of people for no reason,
yeah,
boy, I tell you what, there's something lacking in your life. So I hit the block button. Back in the day when I first started seeing stuff like that, I'd cuss them out. F you, this, that, whatever. But now I don't even give them the satisfaction of a response. I hit the block button, going about my day.
Yeah, you just can't let them get to you.
Hey, man, you guys using computers down there in Grenada High School? Because a long time ago, it was 1982, and I was signing up for my senior year classes, and I needed two electives. And so one of my electives, I said, I saw that there was this class called computer science. I was like, computer science, what is that all about? And it's back in the day.
Yeah.
And so, man, I walked into the room, and you know those little classrooms at Edna High School? And so there was 25 computer monitors there. And this is back when, you know, computers like almost as big as a TV.
Yeah.
And I walked in there and I was thinking, son of a bitch. I said, when am I ever going to use a computer? I'm a football player.
Oh, yeah?
Sports is my gig. Yeah. I don't need no damn computer. So I ended up taking some other elective. And so now all these years in 2017, I got my MacBook right in front of me. And computers are the wave of the future. They're the wave of the present. So do they teach you guys computer schools as a mandatory class, or you got to sign up for them? What's the story?
Well, we do take some that are required, BCIS, stuff like that. I forget what it's called, but there is one we have to take. It's like PowerPoints and all that good stuff, teach you how to use it. And our high school also rents out Chromebooks to everybody for like $20. It's good for the people who don't have laptops, and it's also just good for you if you don't want to take your own personal one. But I'd rather take my personal one for sure, because those things kind of can junk out on you. But I mean, it's a good thing. Everybody's getting to use them. Everybody's getting to know and get really familiar with them.
So you're going to need one of those things in college. Dude, I remember going to college, and we were still writing papers way back in the day. I remember one of my lectures I took in Edna High School was typewriting.
Yeah, I took that. I took
and
typing.
Ms. Davis was my teacher.
Keyboarding.
She's still there. So, man, I was a typing fool. I think I could type like I think I type like 40 words a minute with only like two or three mistakes.
Really?
Now, that's not setting the world on fire. But for a guy who ended up getting hit in the head with steel chairs for 11, ain't too bad. I was kind of proud of myself.
Yeah,
and
you
then,
should be.
You know, boy, I was saying, then you hit that return button, slide that
back over
like a cash register, you know, start typing again.
Yeah.
So these days, I mean, I still got my keyboard here in front of me. It's the same thing as what the typewriter was. But, dude, see these two fingers, my pointing fingers? That's how I type.
Yeah.
I done lost all my typewriting skills.
Really?
If you don't use it, you lose it. I lost it.
See, I try to use mine. I did keyboarding in eighth grade, and they would always, if the teacher would come around and watch you, and she'd take like 1 point off if you messed up and used the wrong finger, if you backspace. Man, I was looking on my back, in that backspace, because I wanted it perfect, man. That's how I was.
How many words could you type a minute?
I want to say I got up to like 50, 55.
Oh, of course, you had to beat me.
I know. As soon as you said 40, I was like, he's going to ask me, and I'm going to beat him.
God damn it. Hang on. I'm going to take a pause for the calls here, and I'll come right back. I want to talk to you about playing a guitar.
Okay.
Because you can play guitar, and I know that was inspired by Pawpaw, your grandfather, my dad.
Exactly.
Talk about music, playing a guitar, and what you're digging these days as far as music goes.
Hey, have you heard? Podcast One has a whole bunch of awesome new shows filled with big names that are waiting for you on our brand new amazing app. This one's a game changer. There's Norman Lear talking to Amy Poehler, Julia Louis-Dreyfus, and Charles Barkley. Geffen Playhouse Unscripted with Bryan Cranston, Josh Gad, and soon Neil Patrick Harris.
Nice.
OC Real Housewife Heather Dubrow's World. Lady Gang's Three Mimosa Podcast with Leah Michelle, Nelly Furtado, Elle King, and more. Plus every episode of The Adam Carolla Show, Dan Patrick, and Rich Eisen. And if you like what happens in the ring, we've got Steve Austin, Chris Jericho, Chael Sonnen, and a whole bunch more. So download our one-of-a-kind new app and see for yourself. Go to the App Store, Google Play, or download it now at podcast1.com.
This is the Steve Austin Show.
All right, let's shift gears a little bit. Let's talk about music. You play guitar.
I do.
How long have you been playing?
3 years.
What inspired you to start playing?
Growing up, seeing my grandpa play. You know, I'm sure you've told these people before. He used to have a band. He didn't do on dance halls on Saturday nights. Uncle Jeff, he can pick like a madman, and my mom Jenny can play and sing, and my sister Emma can also play the guitar. So just the whole family does it. Why not me? So I decided to pick one up, and went from there.
So I mean, what's the practice schedule like? I mean, how often do you sit down and just play guitar? Because I mean, Dad tried to teach me how to play a long time ago because I was always just a fan of music and always wanted to play guitar. But I didn't apply myself. I was lazy and didn't have the attention span. Didn't really have any music ability. And then so I figured, well, I still want to be, you know, a musician. I couldn't sing. Everybody knows that story. And so I figured, well, hell, I got to be the lead guitarist. And
yeah, for sure.
Lead guitar, so I played bass guitar. Well, bass guitar got two less strings. It ought to be easier. Well, and not really, especially for someone who doesn't have any musical ability or does not practice. So my mom and dad wouldn't buy me a drum kit because I'd be in there beating the shit out of those, making too much damn noise.
For
so
sure.
That, they weren't going to play that.
Yeah.
So anyway, it went by the wayside. But my dad was an old school, as you know, Papa is an old school chord guy. He knows a lot of chords that nobody really uses anymore. He's a really good player, and Jeff followed in his footsteps, your uncle. And like you said, Jenny, my sister, and Emma, your sister, my niece, and you picked it up. Like, did Papa start teaching you chords and progressions, or how does that work out for you?
Yeah, mostly Papa and my mom. They'd sit down with me and teach me the basic chords, and then after that, it was just me sitting down trying to transition between them, you know. And after that, it was kind of a challenge, you know, what chord can I learn today, or what song can I learn this week. And my training regimen is usually about an hour a day after school. I haven't played this much this summer. I've been gone from home. I didn't want to take my expensive guitar to camp. I have Alvarez, play Alvarez, really nice. And you know, probably about an hour a day, just pick around, play some country songs, mostly what I play. So
we was talking last night, and you was mentioning some old Texas bands that really never got a great break, but they were good bands from Texas. What are you listening to these days?
I mean, my phone stays on Randy Rogers Band, Turnpike Troubadours, Flatland Cavalry, Cross Canadian Ragweed, Stoney LaRue, any of those guys, anything that would be at Billy Bob's Texas in Dallas. Just great, you know. Yeah, they're old, but their songs are great, you know. It's good Texas country.
Man, I was in Nashville, Tennessee a couple years ago, and I was at the Losers Bar. It's kind of like an outdoor, indoor type thing. And Daryl Singletary was playing, Randy Rogers was playing, and Stoney LaRue was playing. I could hang out with those guys, have some beers with them. And then when Easton Corbin will come through town, I'm good friends with his manager. So they stayed right down the road in Marina Del Rey last time, and man, those guys all busted out their guitars and went and had a big sing along.
Yeah.
I wasn't singing. I was sitting there listening. I'd have run everybody off. But what about mainstream country? Are you digging into that? Has that gone too pop or too commercial for you?
You know, I turn it on sometimes on my radio, in my truck. Mainstream, I guess. I like mainstream back in the 80s. Alan Jackson, George Strait. That's what I listen to on Pandora. But as today goes, you know, there's just, I don't know, it's just not country, you know. I don't see it as good quality country music like Hank Williams was, or anybody, George Jones, you know, anybody like that. Keith Whitley, you know, those guys are great.
What about, did Kevin, your uncle Kevin, turn you on to anybody old school? Because that's all he listens to. He won't listen to nothing new.
No, he listens to all old guys. He likes Willie a lot. I listen to a little bit of Willie, not too much. Kevin Fowler's good. He's a newer guy. He's up there with Randy Rogers Band and all them guys. But I usually just listen to country. That's about it. Some rock. I get into some rock fits, you know. Old stuff. I'm sure you know way more about rock than I do.
No, man, I've kind of been out of rock because, man, all the stuff that I listen to now, I remember when I was growing up as a kid, I was singing, you know, me, Scott, and Kevin, and then, you know, Jeff and Jenny came along. But at first, you know, I'd be sitting there and, you know, my parents, I just noticed they always listen to old music. And I was just, like I was telling you a story last night, I said, man, well, mom and dad listen to all this old shit, man. Why don't they listen to new stuff? And now that I'm their age, I know why they was listening to old shit. To them, it was better. It's what I grew up on, and I'm very fond of it. With all due respect, it's not that there's not any good musicians these days. I'm not saying that. But with the auto tune and just all the dancing and the bullshit that's going on, it's like half the stuff is an act. And if you weren't out there dancing and shit, you wouldn't even have an act.
Yeah.
So here's three bands. I was over there. I was washing some clothes the other day, and I went by Alan Bishop's house, who helps us with the challenges. You met him when you were talking to him about golf.
Good guy.
Man, he had an acoustic guitar, and I said, man, I knew that Alan could play. Don't leave, Kristen. I knew that he could play, and I said, man, play the guitar for me.
Yeah.
God dang, he's more of a picker. He didn't have a pick, so he's using all his fingers, kind of chicken picking.
Mm-hmm.
He's awesome. So he turned me on to three bands. I'm going to drop those on you. And the Greta Van Fleet Band, I'd never heard of these guys, and they're pretty damn good. I heard some stuff from them. And then Rival Sons. Rival Sons is kind of like, man, I don't want to say they're maybe they're heavily influenced by Led Zeppelin. That dude can sing his ass out. The guitar sound good. And then, hell, as big of a Willie Nelson fan as all of our whole family is, he said Lucas Nelson. Well, that's Willie's son.
Yeah.
I think he's more of a picker than he is a singer. But those are the three bands that I'm fixing to check out right now. And God dang it, I got some damn good musicians in them. So there's three for you to saw on, too.
I'll look them up, listen to them.
My wife, Kristen, just walked into the podcast here. We're about to wrap this thing up here in about 10 minutes. Kristen, you've been kind of the tour master over here. And I got off work. You know, Neil came out and hang out with me for a day and a half at the Broken Skull Challenge compound. He saw how everything works. He got to get into the director's truck with Adam, all the television screens in there. Yeah. We're probably running, 10 to 15 cameras out there.
Yeah.
So he sees Adam calling the shots. And then we took him to sushi. You took him to the Venice Boardwalk, Beach Walk, whatever you call it, and saw a bunch of interesting sights over there. I asked him, why didn't you join up with Harry Christmas? I think he would have. He's got a mop of hair on him. This kid's got hair to die for. I used to call him Justin Bieber.
Yeah.
Man, you'd have to shave all that shit off and just get you a ponytail. And I don't know.
I think I could rock that.
You could.
I think I'd
look
good.
You'd probably
look
good doing it.
For sure.
You have to take off that Broken Skull Ranch hat, though.
Oh, man, that's the deal breaker.
Kristen, what's the plans today for Neil? I'm fixing to get ready to go back out to work. And what other sights and scenes are you going to take him to do out here in Los Angeles?
I thought I'd take him to Santa Monica Pier so he can see the pier. And there's a lot of activities on the pier. And then we possibly go shopping on the promenade. And Neely wants to go kayaking. So we're going to go kayaking in the marina. Hopefully he doesn't fall in.
Oh, but you're also going to take him over to Hollywood, right?
Oh, yeah. Hollywood and Highland. He wants to see the Walk of Fame. So we'll do that. And and we have to go do the beach one day. So we got quite a few things we want to do in the next 2 days. We're going to cram it in, though.
Man, I tell you what, Hollywood is interesting, man. It's just, I don't go there too much.
Yeah.
I've been there plenty of times, and every time I do something, it's like, hey, man, we're going to have a rap party. Where's it going to be? Hollywood. Man, I go to Hollywood after 7 p.m. It's a madhouse. There's a lot of creative people out there, a lot of really interesting things.
Yeah.
But, man, after being here for 13 years, you know, I'm not really into it, but everybody else is, so you'll enjoy seeing it.
I mean, I did it for years, but I don't have any desire to.
But what was the other thing I was going to ask you about?
Did you ask him how he's liking Los Angeles?
Yeah, I think he digs it out here.
Yeah.
Could you live out here?
Yes, I think I could. It had to be somewhere not too deep in the city where y'all are, you know. Out here is nice, really nice. So I think I could do this.
I don't know where we left off. The other day we was driving to the Peterson Automotive Museum. Neil was laughing his head off. My wife couldn't stop laughing. I thought her head was going to explode. She laughed for 10 minutes straight. What was so damn funny?
Because we were yelling at everybody, like, what are the idiots doing around here? We're screaming at people because people can't drive in L.A. And we were just laughing our heads off because we just, I don't know what it was about.
I went into full promo mode. I was yelling
at everybody. Up.
There's a poor little family over there pushing a damn car. Pushing a cart with a kid in it, and I was yelling at them, and they wasn't even doing nothing. They just waiting for the damn pedestrian light to turn white. See, my wife's laughing her head off. But I was totally immersed in character, and like the thing that gets me when you pull up to a red light and everybody's messing around, sending text messages, and they got their head up their ass, and nobody will honk at them.
Well, that guy pulled out in front of us on the way back from where were we going back yesterday? From the mall, from the Apple store.
Yeah,
he pulled out right in front of us.
So you turned right in front.
Idiot.
Yeah, so I had to lay on the horn on him.
Yeah.
And then who else did I honk at? Someone else.
Oh,
man, the guy right here on the corner right there to pull out in front of us by 26 Beach. He's like, hey, man. So I'll use my horn. I'm surprised I hadn't had to replace all the horns on all the vehicles that I got because I'll ride a damn horn.
And, man, you keep it cool, though. When you don't blow up too much, you just lay on that horn and then.
You know, I noticed that from I learned that from early, you know, life here in L.A. is the road rage stuff, that's bullshit. Man, you don't do that. I mean, you can honk at somebody, but when you start flipping people off and getting all mad, hey, man, some people are just going to mess up. I learned a lesson.
A voice.
The horn is a voice. It's like, get the F out of the way. And it's funny, like, if you're like number six in line and the number one guy by the red light ain't moving, and you're not honking at the people in front of you. You're honking through them all the way to the number one guy. Get out of the way, dude. Pull your head out of your ass.
Yeah.
I was riding in the back of a town car one time. I had a ride. I was going to a function, and everybody was cutting us off. And I finally told the limousine driver, I said, "Man, I said, how do you do this? How do you not get from getting mad? How do you keep cool and not get mad all the time?" And he just summed it up like this. He goes, "You know, people are going to do things that are dumb, but they don't. I don't take it personal."
Yeah.
And so I try not to take it personal, but I got a life to live. I'm 52. I don't know how much longer I got, so I want to get to where I'm going.
For sure.
Sometimes we was on the way to the damn museum the other day, and everybody was lollygagging around like, "Well, goddamn, my damn nephew's here. I'm ready to get his ass Pearson Automotive Museum.
That's what
get
he kept
out of the
way. Saying, get out of the way. My nephew's here. We got stuff to do.
We on a mission from God."
Exactly.
So it was a fun time. But, yeah, people out here just don't drive like they're supposed to. Like go down to Victoria, Edna, Grenada, down there where, you know, the main streets where you roam at, where I used to roam. Now, I get down there, I'm in go mode. Yeah. Everybody down there drives kind of slow.
They do. They all do. Like the other day, we were behind like a 90-year-old woman. That's how they all drive there. Or you're stuck behind a tractor. That's how it is.
God damn, where we get stuck behind a tractor at the other day?
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, we got stuck behind a tractor. I thought I was going to go crazy.
It wasn't just a small tractor. It was like a 3-lane.
Boy, when I finally got around that sumbitch, boy, I gassed it. Well, hey, let's sum up your visit to Los Angeles. You got a few more days, but I got to go to work. What was the highlights of your trip so far?
Just spending time with y'all, going to eat out with y'all at the Yacht Club, and also the Pearson Automotive Museum. That was really, really cool to experience that with y'all. Just being able to see y'all's house for the first time out of the 10 years y'all have lived here. I've never been out here before. My first plane ride ever. So this whole trip has been amazing, and hopefully I can continue to come out here.
Hey, man, promise me that when you get on your return flight, you won't order a bunch of Bloody Marys and try to grab the emergency door and prop it open so you can jump out.
I guess I can make that promise with you.
Man, I was talking to you the other day. We were standing in the front yard right before we was fixing to go to sleep, and we started talking about jumping out of airplanes with a parachute on your back, and you said that's one of the things that you wanted to do.
Oh, for sure.
Why?
Why not? It's just...
I'll tell you a bunch of reasons why not. Damn parachute might not open. That's why not.
Okay. No, I love heights. I love being up high in the air, adrenaline pumping. You know.
You want to join the Air Force?
We talked about that.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, being up in that plane for the first time, everybody was all putting on their little fancy things that covered their eyes and laying back and going to bed. Now to take my hat off the way I can press up against the window. I mean, really, I just loved it. Being up in the air, seeing all the other planes fly by, just so interesting. So interesting.
And then, did you say you want a bungee jump?
Yeah, I want a bungee jump too.
I was like, "You got a bunch of stupid shit you want to do." And I'm just kidding you. He's laughing. He knows I'm ribbing him.
Yeah, no, he's good.
Having a hard time.
Oh, man, it's a rough crowd out here, people. It's a rough crowd.
Anybody comes to visit us, you're going to get chapped.
Yeah, I did. Trust me.
You have alligator skin.
Aunt Kristen's roasting.
Oh, yeah, she's been nice.
I know. I feel bad for you. It's ruthless.
I told Neil, I said, "Man, normally, you know, like I'm always working my ass off, picking up dog shit, I'm moving trash cans. I mean, I'm
working,
like,
watching, man.
I'm doing stuff."
Yeah.
But she kind of laid off because she's like, "Okay, I'll let Steve look like the macho cool uncle
while
superstar."
Neil's here.
You know, while Neil's here is perception, so
that
I live up to
his
expectations.
Huh?
As soon as you're gone, psh, 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 psh. You feel me?
Yeah,
I've been working.
Man, oof. Yeah, no, we were outside yesterday, and I don't know, I said something about when I was 12, and she said, "Well, you act like you're 12," and just looked at me and was like, "God dang."
Yeah, she's tough.
She is, but she means fun. She means no harm, so. Maybe. I don't know about that now.
God,
I
mean, you can't see me because it's podcast, but I got this look like I don't know.
Yeah,
about
he's
that.
He's doubting me. He's doubting
Neil,
me.
Neil, we're going to ride off in the sunset now. One last time on Instagram and Twitter. You are?
Neil Wiggin, 73 on Twitter, and just Neil Wiggin on Instagram. If you look up Steve, you'll find me.
Hey, Neil, it's good talking to you. Well, I've been talking to you the last 5 days.
Yeah.
I'll catch you down the road.
Yes, sir.
All right, everybody, give me the go home cue. It's time to wrap up this podcast, ride off in the sunset. Before I do that, I want to say thanks to my guest, Neil Wiggin, my nephew, coming out here from Victoria, Texas, and spending a week out here with myself and my wife. It's been awesome catching up with him. He's a great kid, and he works his ass off. Enjoyed talking to you, Neil, and more importantly, I enjoyed visiting with you and glad you came out to see us. My video of the week is on YouTube. And if you go to YouTube and type in Gypsy Rose, lowrider legend. I tell you what, man, I saw this car at the Peterson Automotive Museum this past weekend with my nephew Neil and my wife Kristen. And, man, I've always been a car fan in general, so I always love the lowriders just as much as all the cars. But, man, there's just something about the paint job on this thing and the attention to detail, just the way they laid it out, and just the history behind it. So if you watch Gypsy Rose, Lowrider Legend, you'll see the car that I'm talking about over there at Peterson Automotive Museum. It's a 64 Chevy Impala, and it was also featured in the opening of the 1970 sitcom Chico and the Man, and just the history behind it, the Imperials Car Club. It was a beautiful car, man. I like that. I liked the El Rey Lowrider and El Muerto Rider, but the Gypsy Rose Lowrider Legend is my video of the week. Check it out, and you'll dig the car that I got a chance to see in person, and that thing is absolutely beautiful. Anyway, wrapping up a couple of quick plugs before I get out of here and get back to the compound. New season of Broken Skull Challenge. We're in production. We're filming. Badass new t-shirts coming to ProWrestlingTees.com/Steve Austin. And if you're looking for a way to beat the heat this summer, get my IPA. It's the best IPA on the planet. Broken Skull IPA from El Segundo Brewing Company. Cool off with a cold one. Stop by the brewery if you're in L.A. Or pick it up at Whole Foods and Total Wines if you live in California. I've been hearing a lot of people talking about going to Whole Foods and Total Wines and not being able to find it. We need to pick up distribution so that it is there, because we're supposed to be all over the state of California. You can order it from InsideTheCellar.com if you live in a state that they ship to. And I got one more thing to tell you guys about. I got my own Amazon store, and that's where you can find the Cold Steel Broken Skull Knife and the new Working Man's Knife. Just go to Amazon.com/shop/Steve Austin. And if you want to find me on Twitter, I am Steve Austin BSR on Instagram and Twitter. And thanks for supporting all the fine sponsors of the Steve Austin Show. That's how I'm able to do this podcast for you twice a week for free. And you can find all my sponsors at podcast1.com. Just click on the Killer Deals button at the top of the page and then click on the Steve Austin Show banner. Coming up on Thursday's Unleashed Show, X-Pac returns, and this time we're answering your questions, talking some wrestling psychology, and telling stories about working with Randy Savage, Chris Benoit, Big Van Vader, and Kane. More conversation with X-Pac on Thursday. And hey, the 60-second AP News headlines are coming your way next. Until then, my name is Steve Austin, and I will catch your ass down the road.
Thanks for listening to The Steve Austin Show. Check out new episodes every Tuesday on the Podcast One app or subscribe at Apple Podcasts or podcast1.com.